This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Money is shifting after news that Lawrence Summers says he does not want to become the most powerful economic policymaker in the world.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Concerned about an acrimonious confirmation fight in Congress, former Treasury Secretary and former Harvard President Lawrence Summers has taken himself out of the running to replace Ben Bernanke as chairman of the Federal Reserve. This is a position that guides decisions that can create and wipe out jobs at the issuance of a single press release. Philip Swagel is at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. He's a scholar in the area of America's central banking system. Professor, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So investors around the world got it in their heads that Mr. Summers would have been more likely to take away the Fed's bond-buying stimulus, more likely than maybe other candidates. Do you see a basis in reality for this notion?
That notion came about because Larry Summers has expressed skepticism about the impact of QE3, the Fed's bond-buying program.
Quantitative easing 3, yep.
Exactly. And from there, markets took it that he would get rid of it because he doesn't think it works.
Now, 400 economists signed a letter in support of Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Janet Yellen to get this job the other day. There are other possibilities, including Donald Cohn, a Brookings guy and another former Fed vice chair, and Stanley Fischer, the American who was Israel's central banker until recently. But what is the argument that maybe Yellen would stick with stimulus longer?
She's been seen as a dove because of some of her speeches about the weakness of the economy and the need to continue with the quantitative easing. But I would say that her speeches and her public remarks really reflect her view of the data. And when the data strengthen, I have no doubt that Janet Yellen as Fed chair would tighten monetary policy and do what's appropriate.
Could you comment on the process here?
This process was messed up from start to finish. The White House had this conversation in public when they should just choose. You know, sometimes running a play straight through the middle and saying, this is who we want, this is it, is better than a trick play.
The University of Maryland's Philip Swagel studies the Federal Reserve System. Professor Swagel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now the markets as they digest the passing of Summers. The guardians of interest rates at the aforementioned Federal Reserve meet later this week, with the government's reading on inflation due tomorrow. Should the Fed begin ratcheting down its monetary stimulus? If not, could the economy eventually overheat, sparking unwanted inflation? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more on the history of these fears.
Like a scary movie, we replay images of inflation past.
The most serious problem that our nation has is inflation, and it's getting worse.
By the late 70s, President Carter would face inflation soaring above 13%.
You've still got the generation of economists who came of age when inflation was a serious problem, who are still fighting that war.
Bruce Bartlett served in the Reagan and George H.W. Bush administrations. Lately, he's been criticizing inflation phobes, including some at the Federal Reserve.
They have kept growth slower than it would otherwise be by preventing the Fed from taking additional actions that would have increased economic growth because they keep arguing we must always fight inflation first and not worry about unemployment.
So how could more inflation spur growth? Here's Dean Baker at the Progressive Center for Economic and Policy Research.
The logic here is that if a firm sees that it's able to sell its products for more money in the future, it will be willing to hire more workers today and pay more.
Baker says inflation can help young people and homeowners, paying back today's debts in tomorrow's dollars.
Insofar as people who have debt, mortgage debt, student debt, that debt becomes less of a burden as prices and wages rise.
I think it's a lousy idea.
John Cochran at the University of Chicago argues inflation doves have the growth equation wrong way round.
A little more inflation is usually the sign of an economy that is recovering, but not necessarily the thing that helps the economy to recover. Rich guys smoke cigars, but smoking a cigar isn't going to make you rich kind of problem.
And Cochran says once inflation does increase, the Fed will fight it, because a healthy economy depends on keeping prices and wages in check. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Vice President Biden is port hopping today. Port is in ships, not fortified wine. He'll visit the port in Charleston before heading to Savannah. He's pressing for upgrades so the ports can handle bigger ships. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports on the competition between ports to deepen their waters.
The port in Charleston, South Carolina, dates back to the 17th century, but it's not set up for the most modern ships. Jim Newsom is president of the South Carolina Ports Authority.
Container ships are getting very big. In fact, by the time the Panama Canal is expanded in 2015, over 50% of the world container ship fleet capacity will be bigger than can go through the Panama Canal today.
Newsom wants to make Charleston's harbor deeper.
It's really a good value for the money. It's a $300 million project.
Some question whether that money would be well spent. Paul Bingham is an economic consultant with CDM Smith.
Rather than spend an extraordinary amount of money trying to deepen every single port on the East Coast, maybe you pick some winners and losers.
He notes that ports in Southern California are already deep enough to handle the larger ships. No extra investment necessary. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Back to the lead story. Lawrence Summers no longer is in the running for Fed chairman. Some of the opposition to him in Congress is connected to his controversial views on women in math and science. We put up links to what Summers originally said at Marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.